Welcome to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Ramey. We're your hosts, here to talk about the stories that the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Yes.
I don't have a today in history for this one.
It's the same day, so as the previous episode.
We are going to do the short.
Oh, I have a tragedy that happened.
Okay.
Same as last episode. My Nintendo Switch didn't show up in time. Well, Switch 2.
We already know that now. They're going to know it too. Four weeks later.
This is very bad. I want my complaints heard. FedEx has really messed it up.
Well, if you work for FedEx, be sure to let your bosses know that. He is angry.
I am cross. I called them at 10 o'clock last night to find out why
he
it was not.
It
was
on the delivery vehicle.
It was on the delivery vehicle and then didn't get delivered. And it won't be delivered
so
now.
So they didn't want to come up our driveway.
For three more days.
Or just leave it at the big mailbox that I have.
Yeah, for three more days, I have to wait now because they won't deliver it on the weekend.
We need to get one of those.
I paid for overnight shipping.
Box things to put down there.
I got a refund from overnight shipping. That's why I called them. I was like, hey, now, no. No, this will not be going on. If I paid for it and you had it on the vehicle and didn't deliver it, that's on you.
Yeah.
I was a delivery driver. You know, I didn't do stuff like that.
No, I only took one order back to the store, and that's because I didn't have signal where it sent me and said the house was. There was no houses. It was nothing but woods.
Oh.
Nothing but woods. I also didn't have signal, so I got lost trying to find enough signal to call the person. The person didn't answer, so my car then started acting up, and that's when all the lights on the dashboard was going off, and I was like, that's
go.
It. I'm done.
Yeah, fair enough.
But no, this is another alphabet of death, but it's not really
with asterisks.
It's not really alphabetical order. It's just the last bit of that book.
The stuff they didn't know what to call.
I guess the first part is death certificates.
Did we have an episode about these?
I don't think so. Not death certificate.
Tombstones. We had grave.
Yeah. The practice of recording deaths can be traced back to 11th century church records in England. In America, information about births, marriages, and deaths had been recorded since 1632. Usually ministers or church trustees were responsible for the records like this.
Yeah.
In many southern and western states, a family Bible was about the only place where those events were written down.
We still have a family Bible that did keep track of those events.
Mm-hmm. Before the 1800s, many rural areas didn't have consistent record-keeping practices, and until the late 19th century, recorded causes of death were often inconsistent and vague. Between 1766 and 1910, many causes of death were recorded on death certificates that were unclear. For today, it's mostly because diseases were not classified as they are now. Caregivers, or those present at the time of death, would have the responsibility of describing as best they could what they observed while this person was dying. An example of this is the term commotion, which appeared on 21,542 death certificates during the 1800s.
Does that just mean seizure?
It could have been head injuries or concussions or just a more general way to describe someone who was bopped in the head and died from it.
Quite a commotion. Oh, no.
So that's how that was explained. During the 1800s, domestic illness appeared on 153,190 death certificates.
Just any illness that you get occasionally.
It was diseases that were often linked to old age is what this was.
Ah.
The details on these certificates, such as bedridden or hasn't been out for years, suggested that domestic illness was for deaths caused by depression, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's.
Anything that would have kept you in the bed for years.
Yeah. And obviously before those types of illnesses were identified or known about.
A wasting disease.
Mm-hmm. It may have also been used for stroke victims that were confined to their homes. By 1905, as psychiatry and other medical fields advanced, this cause of death disappeared entirely. Between 1822 and 1890, dry bellyache was recorded on 48,933 death certificates. The symptoms of dry bellyache resembled the symptoms of lead poisoning, by the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah. From the 1790s to the 1880s, the term ecstasy appeared on 19,388 death certificates.
That's unusual.
This was apparently what they described a person losing their ability to reason was. It was considered more violent and dramatic than domestic illness. But I'm assuming syphilis where it eats your brain,
perhaps,
or whatever happens, maybe, is an example of that. I'm assuming. I don't know.
I'd say certain. I've seen really chill people with Alzheimer's, so maybe.
During the 18th and 19th centuries, people with mental illnesses were often locked away in inhumane prison conditions. In rural and pioneer areas that lacked institutions, these violent, mentally ill people were usually chained to objects until they died. And this was also part of the ecstasy, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know what... I mean, there's always room for kindness, but if it's your family taking care of you, I don't know what they could have really been able to do to help you more. I know it sounds awful, but what could they have done?
I'm selfish. I'm going to lock y'all up somewhere away from me.
You had to keep yourselves alive. If you didn't, you know, grow food and stuff, you...
Yeah.
I'm really not sure what they could have done differently other than just let you wander off or be violent. That would have...
Yeah.
I know it sounds horrible.
I feel like you could have built something besides just chaining them up to a random object until they died.
Yeah. When they say chained to it, I mean, I suspect they took care of them still. They fed them.
I hope.
They didn't just chain them and walk off. I believe they meant they just chained them into the house on something so they couldn't wander off or cause, you know, a trouble. Burn the house down. I mean, that's a risk when you have candles everywhere. And I'm not sure what they could have done better with the signs they had, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not always easy to have somebody sit there and keep an eye on them all the time.
Yeah. You got to work. You got to do something.
I wouldn't do that now. Now there's facilities and you know, medical profession that could cover this. But back then, I don't know what they could have done. It sounds horrible, but I don't know what else they could have done.
Yeah. It seems that in the 1880s, some death certificates listed fascinating causes of death, such as died suddenly, nothing serious.
I believe
it's considered serious if it caused a death, but okay, whatever it is. Died without aid of physician, had never been fatally ill before.
Only happened once.
Yeah. Lack of ambition. I mean, same, but...
Lazy people.
Worn out. Also same, but okay. I feel like there's more to it. My favorite. Not really. Visitation of God.
God just come and struck them down.
I think that at this point it would be permanently moving in with God.
Yeah.
If that's what you believe in. Or the 10 leading causes of death in 2005 were 1. Heart disease. 2. Cancer. 3. Brain malfunctions, such as a stroke, for example. 4. Respiratory diseases or lung diseases. 5. Accidents. 6. Was diabetes. 7. Was influenza and pneumonia.
Still, 8, ain't that weird? It's still on the list.
Well, that was 2005. I don't know what it is now. 8 was Alzheimer's disease, 9 kidney-related diseases, and 10 was severe infections. And I just have one little comment because there was a burial at sea section, and I just had a little bit to put in there because, you know, I want to be buried at sea. No permit is required to scatter cremated ashes at sea as long as you do it 500 feet from the shore.
Well, remember that lady we seen getting hauled out on a floaty?
Yeah, that's why it says ashes.
Yeah.
So, if mixing my ashes with concrete to create a coral reef for the fishies is absolutely off limits for some reason, the least y'all can do is go dump my ashes in the ocean. Just be sure it's 500 feet from the shore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a boat.
I think if we didn't cover this in an earlier episode, I'm pretty sure there's an episode of Sawbones about death certificates.
We didn't do the death certificates.
Okay. Then there's an episode of Sawbones all about death certificates.
We did. I think tombstones, which I think there's some tombstones in this one as well.
Okay. Because I knew I've heard some of these before, and I was like, surely that was us. But I guess if it wasn't us, it was Sawbones.
I don't think I've done a death certificates one before.
It might have been the deaths, funerals, and other distant footnote kind of thing, if that was us.
What is death? In 1968, a committee at Harvard Medical School came up with a modern way to define death. They decided a person is officially legally dead when the brain stops working for good. This includes the part that handles the basic human survival activities such as breathing.
Mm-hmm.
To check this, they came up with a test. If someone had no movement, like they weren't able to breathe on their own, they had no reflexes, and their brain showed zero activity, then they were considered deceased. But they did suggest waiting 24 hours with these signs before making an official declaration of death.
Oh, I mean, why not? Yeah. It's just a, you know.
Yeah. And then we're going into the final words, which, like I said, I'm pretty, we did an episode on, or part of an episode at least, mm-hmm. on that. So you may hear it again.
We didn't have the book at the time. Yeah. So,
In ancient Egypt, the tombs of the elite featured hieroglyphics telling the story of their lives, but sometimes they were apparently mixed with embellishments, so they say.
But who are we to actually say? We weren't there.
Yeah, we weren't there. Oh, that's why I said they didn't say, so they say. I say, so they say. Greeks and Romans continued this tradition by carving tales of battles and achievements by the dead. And then we fast forward to colonial America, where gravestone etchers would consult with the dying to capture their final messages.
Well, that must have been a lovely
job.
You know, when the gravestone etcher shows up, things aren't looking good.
Some were actually pretty interesting. For instance, this one from 1754 said, "Here lie the bones of Joseph Jones, who ate while he was able, but once overfed, he dropped down dead and fell beneath the table. When from the tomb to meet his doom, he arises amidst sinners, since he must dwell in heaven or hell, take him whichever gives him the best dinners."
There's a circle of hell just for gluttonous folks. So.
Yeah. Another example is, "Here lies the body of our Anna Doan, to death by a banana. It wasn't the fruit that laid her low, but the skin of the thing that made her go."
Oh no, she tripped on a banana peel.
She died in 1938 in New York, and it's assumed from it was that the death was from fall, because that's what the tombstone implied. Oh. In Albany, New York, in 1914, one tombstone said, "Harry Edsel Smith looked up the elevator shaft to see if the car was on the way down. It was."
Oh no! Ew! Resident Evil.
Oh. And then you have people who were holding on to grudges even after the person was dead, and they got to pick the final words on the stones. And one in particular said, "Tom Smith is dead, and here he lies. Nobody laughs and nobody cries. Where his soul's gone or how it flares, nobody knows, nobody cares."
Flares or fares?
Fares, not flares.
Well,
fares.
I mean, it could have been a great shiny soul. Who knows?
No. But apparently nobody cares.
No. That's what matters.
In Atlanta, Georgia, the tombstone of an unfaithful husband read, "Gone, but never forgiven."
Reasonable. Reasonable.
In Littleton, Colorado, a grave from 1979 had written on it, "I told you I was sick."
Oh, no. Remind them why you are here.
And I think it was less than 15 minutes, probably.
Oh, it's 17 minutes.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
But that's the end of this Alphabet of Death. I actually have an idea for like a serial killer version of Alphabet of Death.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should look at a natural disaster one.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to hold off on this until I finish the horrific hydros and the, at least the hauntings and legends across the United States.
Yeah.
At least want to finish that one before I start any more like little series types.
Yeah. Let us know. Do you like the one-offs or do you like the series like this? Reach out any way you can. I'll explain how to reach out here in a minute if Biff's done talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sir.
There'll be a Linktree link in the description that will cover everything you can imagine. The first link is our home website, The Gruesome Gaming Group, our podcast network. It will take you to all of our different podcasts. You can subscribe there. You can also find our YouTube channels there. We have streams up, and Sims games, and of course, the podcasts themselves are on the YouTube channel as well. There's all our socials. You can reach out to us there, follow us there. There's a Facebook group just for this podcast. There's also eBay shop if you want to buy anything to help support the channel or the podcast, or a link to send us a direct tip if you think we deserve such a thing. We really appreciate it. Helps keeps us hosted. I mean, even use the eBay as a social reach out. Those messages always come through when some of the social ones don't, I've noticed. Let us know. Give us some sort of sign if you prefer the one shot or the mini series kind of thing where we talk about,
or if there's a particular subject one that you don't like, or the ones that you do like.
Yeah, we just like some input on that. I mean, we could look at the listen numbers, but the listen numbers are pretty consistent.
They are consistent, I've noticed. And
except for the big flare-ups we get during Halloween.
Yeah, well, that's to be expected with what our podcast is about.
Yeah.
No, they seem to be fairly consistent.
Which is good. Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate the listens. It makes me feel good. Yeah. Everybody likes to be heard.
And which was really surprising, but where we went to every 2 weeks, I thought somehow they seem to be doing pretty good still.
Yeah, I thought,
with that. Which it may be because of the quality. You can tell if I'm trying really, really hard and getting tired. It's in my voice. You can hear it.
The second episode's on the every week thing. When you do it every week, the second episode's... You can hear the strain starting. Yeah. My voice gets more crackly as well. Living alone, or pretty much alone, we don't talk a lot. Neither one of us do we? Even when there's somebody in the house, I don't talk a lot. I just kind of,
I talk to my pets more than anything.
Oh, little Casper Jane, little weird
dog.
All of my
pets, I talk to them or myself, which I've tried not to do since you got that robot, because I'm like, oh God, he's going to hear me talking to myself like a loon.
I put my robot in the living room. But you stay in the living room, and I stay in a separate... Everybody stays in separate rooms here.
Yeah, because I don't want the robot starting off in the bathroom or the bedroom.
You could put it in the kitchen.
Which is open to the living room.
But I'll... Yeah.
I'm also in the kitchen
a lot. If I ever log into the robot to see what's going on, I look at the TV, and if the TV's on or the PC's on, I'm like, okay, I can stay and linger.
Yeah.
And then I'll take off until Daisy chases me under something. I have to hide. I feel like it gives you the idea of being an animal. You know what it's like to be chased by a big, vicious animal and you run and hide under something short. And then I can see how badly you clean your house. The floors are dirty. There's cobwebs everywhere.
I sweep or vacuum my floors every day.
Clearly not under the desk.
No, I don't move that desk. If I can't see it, it's none of my business.
Well, I see
it. It's like saying move the refrigerator. No.
Do I still have a hat on the robot?
I took it off and put it on top of the fridge while Daisy was playing with it.
Okay, because I noticed I could get under places again that I couldn't when the hat was on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We need to start making TikToks of those. They're quite popular.
Oh. Okay.
If we do, well, keep an eye on the TikTok. We have a TikTok channel. Two of them, actually. A Gruesome Gaming one and a Horrific History one. Anyway, thank you for listening to this ramble. I've been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been HH&H. Bye-bye.